Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Bewitching Book Tours Blog Talk Radio. I am G.L. Ross, your host. Today's guest is Amanda Jones, author of Dark Angel, Book 1 of the Fallen Chronicles. We'll hear about the other books in the Fallen Chronicles series also as we visit with her. She's coming to us from Toronto. How's Toronto, Amanda?
Quite frankly, it is a rainy, cloudy, gray day in Toronto.
Oh, my gracious.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, welcome to spring showers.
Ah, what's the temperature? Is it comfortable or cold?
Right now, we're probably sitting somewhere around 6 or 7 degrees Celsius.
Oh, wow.
So it's a little cool. Yeah, it's a little cool. A little on the cool side.
I would definitely. Yeah, I don't do cold well, so I'm like, oh, no. Well, who are you living with in Toronto? I hear you have spoiled pets. Tell us about these pets.
Oh, my kitties, yes. Well, we have Kitty. I got really creative with her name, right? It was the only thing that she would respond to. We've got Kitty, who, if anybody's been on my website, AmandaJonesAuthor.com, they can see the lovely photo of her. She looks like she just crept out of the Pet Cemetery series.
Oh, my God.
It's the glowing eyes. I don't know what it is about her eyes, but she always looks like she's possessed.
How funny.
And we have our lovely cat model, Jack, who likes to pose on his back at all hours of the day and night. He's just missing the swimsuit. He could be a little kitty swimsuit model if he tried. Yeah. He's my chubby boy. He looks like he just got squeezed out of a sausage. He's so
oh,
cute.
Oh, my gracious. Are they all young or are they varied ages?
Oh, they're both seniors. They're both 11, actually.
Oh. Well, thank goodness cats lived about 20. I have two cats also, and I'm always sitting there going, you can't leave me anytime soon. But that's the nice thing about cats. They live a long time.
I know, right? And the little personalities that they develop are just hilarious. Like some of the weird little things that they pick up on.
Yeah.
And then they start adapting each other's strange little personality traits. It's it's quite something.
Oh.
Yeah, it's quite something.
I don't mind. I have dogs, and I swear one of my cats, he thinks he's one of the dogs, and they wrestle on the floor, and I'm just sitting there going, oh, my gracious, I thought cats and dogs didn't like each other. Mine love each other.
Oh, wow. Well, when Kitty was little, I had a ferret, so she decided she was a ferret.
Oh, my gracious, a ferret?
Yeah, I had a ferret named Stretch, and she decided that she was a ferret, so she started tunneling under things. And sitting up with her paws, like, held up like a little, it was interesting.
Oh, that is too funny. Oh, my gracious, a ferret. And then a cat acting like a ferret. Now, that's a new one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was reading about you on Amazon's site about the author and then on your website. And I was reading about all these different fields you have worked in. I mean, you've been in sports, music, film, corporate world. I mean, what on earth have you been doing and going all around? I mean, how did you get into all these fun jobs?
Quite honestly, I think I've always been trying to decide what I want to be when I grow up. And on some level, I think I'm still at it.
I love it.
Yeah, no, I was a figure skater. I was a competitive figure skater when I was younger,
up
until my teens. And then I started doing some coaching of the little ones.
Mm-hmm.
So in that respect, so I was working in the sports industry there. And then, did some violin playing with a junior orchestra, moved into assisting in film production.
That's great.
Became a corporate recruiter.
No, all these different jobs have to help you in writing books. I mean, all the different job scenarios and people you've met, I'm sure, has to affect your writing.
Either that or it's just me showing off my multiple personalities to the entire world. Which does help in writing. I mean, let's face it, right? I can literally have conversations with myself.
I love it. That's great. Now, what did you do in figure skating?
Well, I was a competitive singles figure skater.
Okay.
for many years, and I've lived in several places across the country. So, I mean, at one point there, I was on the Saskatchewan provincial team for the Canada Winter Games and all that. So, you know what I mean? It was really cool. It was really interesting, and you know, everyone has dreams of the Olympics that don't quite come to fruition.
But you had a goal and a dream. I mean, you worked towards it. That says a lot about you as a person. What was your favorite job out of all of those?
I love being a recruiter.
Okay.
A corporate recruiter. So working with a lot of different people, it's something I still do. So recruiting people all over Canada for different jobs in a large corporation, and also working with some people in the U.S. as well. I work with a couple different states in the U.S. So,
okay.
Right now I'm doing a lot of work in Minnesota, so that's kind of cool.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so you get to talk to a lot of different types of people from different backgrounds, people that have a lot of different work experiences. It's interesting to hear people's stories.
Yes, people are fascinating. There's no doubt about that. Well, I'm a flight attendant, so when I saw that you enjoy traveling, I was automatically was like, okay, I got to find out. What are some of your favorite places you've traveled to? Do you have a favorite one?
Well, first of all, I love that you were like a flight attendant. That was that was one of my possible career choices. I really, really wanted. I wanted to be a flight attendant.
Uh-huh.
I really did. I really did. It just seems so cool because you get to go everywhere.
Right.
I loved Prague.
Okay.
The Czech Republic to me was. I love the buildings. It's just such a different type of architecture. I love architecture.
Yes.
I'm a total architecture, like amateur photography junkie for buildings.
Okay.
So Prague, Rome. I fell in love with Rome.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and my family lives in Scotland. A lot of my family.
Really? That's on my bucket list. I want to go there.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
My family live. They're near Falkirk, so just outside of Edinburgh area.
Mhm.
And then I have some other family members that are near Stirling, so near the castles and the monuments, and it's just I love Gothic architecture, Gothic cathedrals, and yeah, that kind of rings my bell.
Oh, that's how fabulous! I mean, I think that's so interesting, and I like to tie the spots I travel to into my books. So, do you often do that in your stories or not?
Dark Angel, actually, for anybody who's read it and people who are going to read it, it actually ends in Prague or just outside Prague. Yeah.
Yes. See, that's what I'm saying. It's great to tie it all in together. It's just, I think it's so neat when you read a book and you can almost tell if the author has been where they are because of the detail that they put in the description of where they are. And I love that.
Well, we got to be careful with that one for me anyways. I mean, hopefully I won't be visiting hell anytime soon.
So, oh.
Like 90%
well, yeah, I don't want
book.
You to go there.
Yeah, not really. But the detail is incredibly, no.
Yes. Your imagination is at full throttle on that one.
One can only hope, right? Or at least I won't be visiting there anytime soon. Yeah.
No.
But yeah, no, it's true. When you read a book and you get a real sense of being immersed in the location, it's a great feeling.
Yes. Oh, it is. It's wonderful. Well, since we're talking about the books, give us a little bit of a breakdown of a synopsis of like book one and book two that's coming out this month, and then kind of what the Fallen Chronicles series is all about.
Okay. Well, Dark Angel is the first book in the series. We get to meet Luke, who is Lucifer, the original fallen angel, the original Dark Angel. So he's really in a deep, deep pit of self-loathing. Guilt, regret, you know, he's kind of being forced into a role of being sort of Satan's right-hand man, has been tasked with bringing a young woman to hell. And, okay. you know, normally there's a good reason for it, but in this case, he gets a feeling that she's not quite what she seems. So we get to meet a lot of people that, the other angels that are sort of part of the fallen angel crew there that fell together. Mm-hmm. This young woman, Katya, and some of her friends who, you know, may or may not be practicing witches.
Yes.
And together they all sort of go through a journey of discovery. Who is she? What is she? How does she play into this sort of cosmic balance between good and evil? It's really sort of a... I don't want people to feel like it needs to be taken too seriously when they're reading it. It is kind of, in certain ways, kind of campy.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, there was one reviewer who described it as it kind of like a campy kind of B-movie feel. That's kind of what was going on in my head when I was writing it.
Right, sure.
So it is a little campy and cheesy in certain areas. And in other areas, it's a little bit more sort of dark and depressing. So it kind of walks the line of melodrama a little bit over the top with these really crazy paranormal characters, right? Because you got angels and demons and Satan, who's a teenage boy that likes to listen to the Backstreet Boys.
I love it.
Yeah, it's a little quirky. It's quirky but sexy.
Yes, yes. Yeah. I was about to say, because these are romance novels. Correct?
They are. They absolutely are. Yes, and I am a massive fan of the HEA. I love my happy endings.
Great.
Yeah, so I don't like leaving people with cliffhangers either. I like to sort of have a story that I mean, it leaves room for more, but that it wraps up the issues, the plot issues in each book, so that you don't feel like you're sort of left hanging.
So if somebody started on book two of the Fallen Chronicles, would they be okay then to go and read book one, or do they really need to read them in order?
I hope I've done enough sort of general description of why people are where they are in book two, mm-hmm. that somebody could read book two and then go back and read book one. And actually, oddly enough, my editor, Kristen, who's fabulous and wonderful, she actually read book two first.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So,
okay,
and
great.
she seemed to be okay going backwards. So hopefully that is true for everybody.
Now,
yeah, and then book
I
two
know,
is a continuation of book
okay,
one.
I was
so
tell us a little bit about book two.
Sorry, I'm talking over you.
No, I'm doing it to you, so don't worry.
Book two is the story of basically the group of fallen angels that we're dealing with in this series. It's seven fallen angels, and then some sort of side characters that they meet along the way through their adventures. So the main series is focusing on these seven fallen angels. So book one is Luke, Lucifer. Book two is Bet-Aryal, or B. And then, you know, it moves on through the angels, you know, dealing with various different crises as they crop up.
Okay.
Meeting different people along the way. So, yes.
Okay, so it will be then a seven-book series, The Fallen Chronicles?
And I'm actually doing a little bit of sort of spin-off work as well. Like right now, so book one and book two are the fallen angels as the main characters. Book three is actually going to be called Forbidden Angel. It's actually going to be a quasi-novella, like a sort of longer novella, mm-hmm. dealing with one of the side characters that played a very large part in the second book. So people will get to find out what kind of happens to him after he comes in contact with our main characters.
Now, book one released on March 29th, but now book two comes out this month. What day is it available?
I don't actually have the official date yet.
Okay. No, I understand.
It's probably going to be towards the end of the month, though.
Okay.
Probably the last week of May.
Okay, so people have time, if they haven't already read Dark Angel, they have time to go grab Dark Angel, read it, and then they'll be ready for book two when it releases at the end of the month.
Absolutely. And Dark Angel right now is available on the New Concepts Publishing website. It's also available on Amazon and Smashwords.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Now, I have to say, I don't know if it was your editor or you who came up with your tagline, but I love it. With this fallen angel, it never felt so good to be bad. I love that.
That was me.
You get to take credit for that? Is that you? Yes, okay.
That was me, yep.
So was when you sat down to write this, was that kind of the inspiration behind the story, or what led you to come up with the idea to write about angels, fallen angels, and the whole urban fantasy realm?
Okay. Hopefully this all doesn't make me sound crazy.
No. Writers are all a little crazy.
I know. It's part of our charm, I know.
Yes,
we'll call it that anyway.
Yes.
I love anti-heroes.
Okay.
I love the bad boy. I've always loved the bad boy. Anti-heroes are fantastic. If you can get a bad boy and make people want him and be able to look past the bad things he might have done to who
mm-hmm.
he is sort of under all of the, you know, rough diamond, kind of polish him up a little
sure.
bit.
yes.
So that's kind of where it all started was, you know, I like the idea of good and evil. Like, what makes the bad guy bad? Why does he have to be the bad guy? Does he always have to be the bad guy, or can he change?
Right.
You know, and angels, I set out thinking I was going to write a vampire novel.
Okay.
I did. But there's just something about you know, the dichotomy, like the extremes of heaven and hell. The idea
yeah.
of like extreme goodness and extreme evil, and is there like absolute good and absolute evil? Or are we all kind of sort of, you know, living in the shades of gray in between?
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of where all that came from.
Okay. So
The paranormal world is just fun. I mean, you get to write the rules of the universe, really. You're playing God yourself. You get to decide what can and cannot happen in your world. It's a really good time.
Sure. Well, yes, absolutely. I mean, as a writer, I seem to write more real world, because I'm amazed by those of you who can write about the paranormal, because I just think it takes unbelievable imagination and creativity to come up with that. I mean, as a child, did you grow up wanting to read paranormal books? Was that your interest in your teen years and all? Or how did you fall in love with the whole paranormal realm?
I got addicted to Anne Rice as a teenager, so I was locked in. There was no getting out.
I gotcha.
Yeah, I think one of my highlights was getting a free advanced reader's copy of Merrick, Anne Rice's Merrick, in an airport
oh.
in the UK when I was traveling, uh-huh. and that was like one of my highlights of the year.
Okay, so when did you start writing?
I've always loved writing. I mean, I was the weird kid that loved the written essay assignments in school.
Mm-hmm.
I was that kid.
Me too. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, good. Well, you know, there. It makes you feel good. There. Thank you.
You're not the only one.
When I was growing up, my mom had gone back to school, so she was going to university and was bringing home, she was an English major, so she was bringing home, like, everything, like Chaucer, like Canterbury Tales and,
yes.
you know, Jane Eyre and just everything, classics. So I really started reading everything, like anything
okay.
I could get my hands on. Yeah.
Well, for those who don't really understand what urban fantasy is, explain urban fantasy and the difference between urban fantasy and paranormal for us.
Well, there's probably going to be some debate as to whether or not I'm right on this score, but to me, paranormal is more sort of supernatural characters set in a supernatural world that responds to supernatural, I guess, laws in that world. For me, urban fantasy is sort of there are elements of the story that take place in the real world, in our world, and in my books, there is a large chunk of the story of each book that takes place in a regular city. There are, I guess, magical elements of this paranormal world that are hidden okay. in the city, where mm-hmm. only individuals from that world can access those. You know, like there's a bar called, or a tavern, the Devil's Advocate, where okay. they can hide out, and it's kind of a safe haven. It's hidden within the real world, but can only be right. accessed by the supernatural.
Okay.
You know, so there's a lot of magical elements mixed in with real world scenarios. That's sort of.
So, yeah. No, go ahead.
No, it's okay. I'm good.
No. And for those listeners who are new to the show, we have a delay, so we're trying real hard not to jump on each other. Just so you understand, it's not we're not intentionally stepping on each other there. When you are talking about the bars and the places in the city, do you find that you use some places that perhaps you've visited or you like to hang out as the, I guess, the groundwork for the site that you're mentioning in the books?
The tavern, the Devil's Advocate, for example.
Right.
In my head, it's actually a little tavern that I went to in Germany.
Okay.
From a me seeing it in my head perspective, like when I'm
right.
describing it in the book, like that's what I'm
yes.
seeing. But then obviously, you know, not to my knowledge, were there vampires wandering around the bar, and I don't think
exactly.
the bartender was a demon with horns.
right. But it was the groundwork.
Yeah.
That's
exactly.
where you get the, yeah. I think that's interesting when you start doing that. So do you find that, like, part of you is part of Katya in the first book?
I don't know so much if part of me is Katya from the first book. I find more of myself in the, I find little pieces of myself in every character.
Sure.
It's really cathartic in certain ways, because there's some things that you want to say that you can just write down.
Exactly.
But there's, you know, when you get to places in the book where there's, you know, I mean, and everybody feels it, you know, being unsure of yourself or feeling bad about something, or guilt, or, you know, not feeling good enough, or, you know, wanting to find love, or feeling lost. We all feel that. So there's little pieces of me in everyone.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's funny, because every now and then, like, I mean, I've had a couple people that are really close friends who've read the books, and then they'll come back to me later and say, when I read this line, that was you. Like, I can almost, but they know me really, really well. Like, they actually heard a couple of the lines in my voice because
right.
it sounded so much like me, you know. And I mean, it's good that, you know, most of the readers aren't going to know me so well that they'll hear that.
Sure.
But that,
yeah.
that it can be that close to you that somebody who really knows you so that well can actually hear it in your voice.
Exactly. No, and I deal with the same issues with my friends when they read my stories. Do you what would you say makes Katiana tick? What makes her want to step out a little, since she feels like such an outsider looking in? What makes her want to step up and be the woman when she meets Luke?
I think it's more she's always felt that she didn't fit in with everyone around her, and all of a sudden she's with this group of people, and the pieces are, it's like a puzzle, or everything just starts to click just a little bit. You know, it's like the pieces are falling into place for her, and
mm-hmm.
and she is starting to feel embraced by a group of other, for lack of a better word, outsiders. I mean, they're all supernatural beings. They've all got different abilities. They're all different. They're all outside of the normal human world. So she's part of this group and is now able to sort of carve out a place for herself and define who she is within this new world, and make connections with people who actually know who and what she is at that sort of deeper level, not just like surface relationships like she was having prior to meeting Luke.
Okay.
Like her entire life sort of was like a glossing over the surface before. She was famous. She was, you know, pretty. She was well liked. But
right.
did anybody really know her?
Right. And do you feel like, is that the attraction to Luke, because he sees her, he gets her?
Yes, I think a lot of the initial attraction. I mean, obviously, you're looking at he's a hot angel to start with.
Right, exactly.
So I mean, he's easy on the eyes, but I think the way that he treats her, the way that he's willing to help her, he needs somebody to see him as something different than what he has been perceived as. You know, like he needs somebody to see him as something, see something good in him. And she needs somebody to see who she really is. So they're able to sort of come together with those two elements of their personality sort of click together at the right time. She is willing to take him at face value and not look at his past. And he's willing to help her step into this new part of her life. So they really connect.
Do you have a favorite scene without giving away too much info?
There's a couple of really hot scenes in there that were fun to write for me. And,
yes.
You know, those are always going to be some of the favorites, right?
Right. Oh, sure.
I like there's a few cute little lines in the book that I like, you know, just, you know, at one section they're in a hotel room together and Luke's trying to, you know, find ways of reducing a problem that's been growing, if you get my drift.
Yes.
So he's thinking, you know, what can I think of to make this go away? And he's going on baseball cards and torture and, you know, like trying to get rid of
I love
get this
it.
Back
That's
down.
Great. Yes, yeah, exactly. As so many men have dealt with, yes. well, with your jobs and everything, you're not writing full time right now. You're also working, right?
Yep, that's right. I was going to say, I write in the evenings and I write on the weekends. Whenever I get spare time, I'll sit down and I'll write a couple of chapters.
That's what I was going to say is, where do you find the time? I mean, are you one of those that's a night owl that you stay up all night or writing or?
It's weird. It's like as soon as the sun sets, it's witching hour for writing.
I
need
that,
the dark.
Witching hour.
But it's true, right? Uh-huh. Like it's almost like I need the dark. I need the night to get into the right headspace. I couldn't sit down, I don't think, at like, you know, 8 o'clock in the morning and start writing about, you know, the demonic realm of of Outer Sheol, where, you know, there's magical portals and, you know, vampires and djinn and, you know,
right.
I think it would be difficult to get myself into the right space.
Do you have certain music you like to listen to when you write, or do you want it silent?
I love listening to classic rock, alternative. It's funny because, like, depending on the scene I'm writing, I could be blasting, like, Papa Roach.
Right. Uh-huh.
Or A Perfect Circle, Bring Me the Horizon. You know, some of the really... it's funny because, I don't know if everyone listens to the lyrics or not, but the lyrics are actually really intense.
Yes.
So it gets you into that sort of intense headspace.
Exactly.
Yeah. Muse is great to listen to when I'm writing, I find.
Oh, yeah. No, I love listening to music. In fact, I give credit to the musicians and the lyricists and everything in the books when I write them, because the music helps me, and I want people to listen to it to kind of get into that feel also. Well, we're about to run out of time here, but I want to say your Bewitching book tour is from April 24th to May 22nd, and if people follow along, they can enter to win. You're giving away 5 copies of the book of the Dark Angel, the e-books, and so I want them to go enter that. So what social media sites can they follow? You mentioned your website. Where can they find you to follow along on your tour?
You can follow me on Twitter at AmandaLJ1981 or on Facebook at Dark Angel Author. The links are available on my website, AmandaJonesAuthor.com. And then Bewitching Book Tours. I know Roxanne is tweeting quite frequently with regards to the contest, so you can definitely follow that and enter to win there. And I'm retweeting a lot of the bloggers. And I wanted to say a huge, massive, massive thank you to all the bloggers that have been hosting Dark Angel for the tour as well. Everybody's been absolutely wonderful.
Can't do it without bloggers. The bloggers are an author's lifeline. Well, it has been so much fun talking to you. I hope that I get to visit with you again with book 2 and 3 if you do another Bewitching Book Tour. And I wish you the very best of luck. I encourage everyone to check out your website and to go grab a copy of Dark Angel so that they're ready for book two at the end of May. Thanks so much for being our guest, Amanda.
Thank you so much for your time and all your preparatory work as well for me. Thank you, Gail. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. You take care. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.